it's kind of like the degrees here nor there. Like you said, it's who's going to say your name in a room of opportunity. Who's looking out? Who do you know? So yeah, just trying to. This connection is huge for me, so I appreciate
Stop it.
No, for real.
I'm the one who's lucky.
Oh my god, we're gonna do this all day.
Hey, line for line, ain't no comp in this rap neither.
You waiting line for line and keep doing numbers. I gave them the game, trust we live for the summer. Got doctors and artists and athletic speakers. Come learn from my come up, I'm better than people. I'm in love with the grind, I'm in love with the culture. Do this for the fam, do this for Kenosha.
You know I got your Kenosha.
If you got the vision, then come a little closer. Let's get it together, line for line with the soldiers. I'm in love with the grind, I'm in love with the culture. Do this for the fam.
All right, everyone. Just like that, we're back in a very special episode of Line for Line Podcast. I'm your host with the most, Devon Booker. We have a very special young lady in the building, a very talented young lady, a lady who's going places. We have Mrs. Grace Scalzo in the building. Grace, how are you?
I'm doing so well. I'm so honored to be here. This setup, maybe we'll do a little bit on that, but I'm just thankful to be here. You're awesome. So
oh my gosh.
Appreciate it.
I greatly appreciate it, young lady. As a lot of people know, we actually met at the Marquette games and everything like that.
Yep.
So that's how we got rocking, and that's how we got you to come on the podcast as well. Is this your first ever podcast that you've been a pleasure of being on? Or
no, I actually had the pleasure of being on Milwaukee Uncut earlier this week, where we talked about dating. But about meeting you at Marquette, I'm late to the party. This is the real deal right here. I got to give you your flowers. If you're not following already, you got to make sure you follow.
Oh my gosh. I'm trying not to be red in the face, guys. Don't listen to her. But yeah, most cliche thing that we do when we start Line for Line podcast, just tell people just a little bit about you, ma'am.
All right. So like elevator pitch, huh? Okay. So I'm Grace Scalzo. I am a graduate student at Marquette University. I'll be done there in May. I'm getting my master's in communication and media. I work part-time for the Milwaukee Bucks in their communication department. I work for Marquette as a teaching assistant and as a in-game host, which is where I saw you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I teach yoga on the side for some fun.
Yes, ma'am. Now, communications. Just tell us a little bit about how you got started in that. What kickstarted that vision, that idea?
Yeah. So I went to University of Wisconsin-Parkside for my undergrad. And I got two degrees there, one in communication, one in business management. And I was playing basketball there and I got hurt and I was booty after I came back from my injury.
No.
So I was talking to the coach. I was like, hey, we liked each other as people as well. So she was really cool about me shifting my mindset to more staying around basketball long term. So thinking of that communication, storytelling side of it. So it was a way for me to stay around the game, still have a scholarship, still be part of the team, but just start telling our player stories or other athlete stories. So that's how I started.
Can you just tell us a little bit about the start to that? Like, what were some of the things that you were doing on the communication side and how different was it from actually playing the game?
Yeah, this is going to be really funny. So I started an IGTV series called Touching Base with Grace during like my sophomore year at Parkside. And I would just go on Instagram Live and post it afterwards. But I would interview like all players of all sports at Parkside and just talk about their life, just cut it up. And then that's kind of how it started. Then we had like a streaming service for parents to watch when we were on the road or even home games. So I would kind of do like some sideline reporting for those. And it was obviously a very small audience, but it just kind of let me ask them questions and get comfortable on camera. So that's how I started.
Now, obviously you played basketball. Can you just tell us a little about that and what that was like, how you got started with basketball as well?
Yeah. So right now we're in Kenosha. We're like, I don't even know what street, 60th Street. This is the stomping grounds. This is where it all began. Boys and Girls Club, nice little team there. Then I played small fry with Tristan Jazz and a couple other cool guys that I'm still friends with to this day. Then AAU picked up, played for Midwest Elite, where some Marquette players played as well. So got some mutual contacts there. And I played in the girls' EYBL circuit. Before I got hurt, I had some Division I offers. And then after I tore my ACL and broke my collarbone, which I got a big scar here. I don't know if you can see it. But so I got a plate and seven screws here. After that's kind of when everything plateaued, I guess you could say. Parkside stuck around, still offered me, played in college for a couple years, and then like we said, communication took over. So that's the basketball story, but I'm so thankful for it. I wouldn't change it.
Yes, ma'am. Now, when you were playing basketball, obviously you talked about the trials and tribulations of being injured. Can you just tell us a bit about how supportive you were as a teammate and things that you put into the game from being on the sideline?
Yeah, okay. So I had a coach in high school, and he actually challenged me one day. He was like, yeah, you might be the best player on our team right now, but what kind of teammate would your teammates say you are? I'm like, oof, that's a good one. So I feel like ever since then, that was like my freshman year, I've been way more focused on how to be a better teammate. So when the adversity hit and I got hurt, it was just more like communicating from the bench, So communication, again, kind of like an underlying theme, but stepping up and leading from a different perspective, like, hey, I noticed this, like, you guys aren't on help side, make sure you get there, like, just leading from what I saw without actually playing is kind of what role I took.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Now, obviously, you finished at Parkside. You were no longer a basketball player there. You were working communication side behind the scenes. Can you just tell us a bit about what it was like transitioning into Marquette and how that opportunity got started for you as well?
Okay, so I graduated in 3 years from Parkside because COVID happened. So I was like, screw it. I'm going to take tons of credits. I'm a bit nerd out, like no life. I was living at home to save money. Pro tip, by the way, so you could save a lot of money on living if you live with your parents and home cooked meals. But yeah, so not much of a college experience. So then I was looking to get my master's to kind of delay the growing up process, but then also because I value education. So I was talking to like Madison and Marquette, but then Marquette was like, hey, if you be a teaching assistant here, you can have a full scholarship. We'll pay you, like, just come to Marquette. I'm like, I would love to come to Marquette for with that cost and everything. So now I've kind of had more of the college experience, working still, but being on a campus with students, and then getting involved with athletics has been really nice for my future as well. So
Nice. Can you just tell us a little bit about what it was like walking on the court for the first time and just meeting everyone, just unpack it all, like just how crazy that experience was
at Marquette, you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I guess when I started working for the Bucks, I was still at Parkside. So that to me was like culture shock. It was like, oh my gosh, the biggest names in basketball. Like Giannis is right there, like literally arm's length. Obviously can't be like, what's up? But
yeah.
But that was mind blowing. But with Marquette, still respect those players just as much. And walking onto the court, it's kind of hard still sometimes, especially with women's games if I'm working them, because it's kind of like, oh, I wish I was still playing a little bit. But I'm so fortunate to be around those people. Like, they're going to do amazing things, and being a part of their story early on is like, it's like you, I'm catching you at like the blast off point. You're just the tip of the iceberg getting started. So I'm excited just to be around the people that I get to be around.
That's so crazy that you say that, when you say really getting to know them before they really get started on their journey. And I tell people that all the time. Like, a lot of people say, man, how do you get close with all these players? Yeah. I'm like, I just meet them like while they're on their journey, just like I'm on my journey as well. And I'm really good friends with Connor Sejan, who's the guard for the Badgers. Yes. So I knew him when he was in high school. I actually met him at his senior night game where he dropped 32 points.
Dang.
And yeah, and like I said, this is before he got to Wisconsin. This is before he got to be the name that he is now. Yeah. And it's like, when you meet them at that age, extremely grateful for the opportunity to be on camera, have interviews done, have highlights made for them as well, too. So that means a lot to them as well, too. Like, someone of his stature, he tells people all the time, like, he came all the way to Indiana just to watch me play basketball, you know, and for that, I'm forever grateful for him, and I'll always rock with him.
That's
so
love.
When you say that, that hits close to home, because it's like, I get messages like that all the time, too. Like, man, you were there before I got to where I'm at now. You were there, this, that, the third. So I can totally feel that.
That's
seriously.
Love, for sure. And now I want to flip it on you, because we've talked about your story, but I don't know if the people have heard. How did you get started? What's your story?
For me, I've always been like that outgoing person. I always wanted to be an actor and a radio show host. I took acting classes throughout middle school, throughout high school. So my freshman year of college, I was in acting as well, too. So I've always wanted to be like on camera. Yeah. And I've always been that goofy person that likes to ask questions, that keeps talking all day. Like, every time I played sports, like, when we were on the sidelines, it was always up to me to be like the motivational speaker, be the person that's asking questions to the coach and everything like that. So yeah, I literally got my start in that. And I started with no fancy equipment, no nothing. I literally was doing interviews in my kitchen at my house. I literally would say, hey, yeah, come over. I would just put my phone down on the table and we would sit there and talk. And that's how Line for Line really got started and how I got started with this.
Who was your first guest ever?
Who was my first guest? An artist by the name of Tone Cold. He actually just bought his own studio down in Houston, Texas. He's like becoming big, and he's from Kenosha as well, too. And like,
wow,
he's been traveling all over the world with his music and everything like that. He was the first guest that I've ever had on Life Line podcast.
Tone Cold, you said?
Tone Cold.
I'm going to have to tap in.
Yeah, definitely. Tone Cold.
Also, Connor. I feel like I know Kamari because he's from Racine. So there's that 262 connection, if you know. But I'll have to follow him as well. That's awesome.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Any other questions you got for me now? I feel like I'm the cool person here.
Okay, so why basketball?
Basketball is like one of my favorite sports ever. But I played football. I've never played basketball like outside of like elementary, middle school. I didn't take it to the high school level. I was always football or rugby and a little bit of wrestling, but basketball has always been my thing. I've always been around basketball, whether it was my dad being a coach, my brother being a coach, and them having their team come over for dinners and homework studies and everything like that. So I've just always been around basketball.
Love it. Okay. And then one more question that I have, because with us being in Kenosha, like I said, and involved in the community and kind of like trying to put on as best we can for our community, we both go to Burn. And mm-hmm. I teach yoga at Burn, but I love going. And I worked out with you the other day. And this man's tough. Like, I want to talk about Burn. I want to talk about because some of them might listen. So,
of course,
your experience with it, what's it like for you?
Yeah, Burn Bootcamp. Burn Bootcamp has definitely changed my life from day one. Day one, I saw a friend that went to the Recplex as well too, and we would always talk. And I was like, "Hey, I'm gonna try Burn Bootcamp. I'm gonna try Burn Bootcamp." Every day, I would say, "Yeah, I'm gonna try. I'm gonna come with you. I'm gonna come with you." And I would never go. I was always scared. So like they would do this thing where you could sign up. I think it's like 7 free days.
Yeah.
I would always sign up for it, and then they say, "Oh, day one's tomorrow." I would never go. I was just always scared to go give it a try. I don't know what it was. I would see like the videos and everything. I was like, "I can't do that. I'm out of shape. I'm overweight. I can't do any of that." But one day I woke up, I said, you know what? It's really time to change my lifestyle and take everything serious, especially with me getting bigger and bigger. I want to be able to look my best when I'm on camera and I'm on TV and I'm around athletes and famous people like you. So I was like, I need to look my best and be on my P's and Q's. But yeah, Burn Bootcamp, that's how I got started. My friend Josh put me on. I went, tried it out. I met Teresa Brooks, the trainer. She was the head trainer at the time. She was amazing from day one. She like took me in. She showed me all the workouts that I needed to do. She would come by, make me feel welcome and make me not mm-hmm. feel out of place as well too. And ever since that day, it's literally been up there, stuck there since then.
Love. And they're national. So this applies. Even if you're not from Kenosha, like you can go hit up a local Burn Bootcamp. They're an amazing community as well. My neighbor put me on to Burn and it actually helped me so much post being an athlete, like mm-hmm. post basketball, because it's kind of competitive. Like the other day when we were getting those half burpees, something or others.
Yeah, the green bays. Like, the green bays.
Yeah, the green bays. Actually, we did full burpees on those, and yeah. I was like, I'll be damned if you're gonna make me these. So it gives you that competitive nature. So it's fun.
Yeah, and you got those people who they won't let you give up on yourself either.
Exactly.
I remember I didn't always run after camp, but when I did start running, my friend Trish, I call her TP. She was out there. We were running. And I was like, you know what? Let me stop. I can't do this. No, you're not done. You're not done. Let's go. Let's go. And I went back and finished my run. And I never stopped running since that day. I told myself once ice gets out there and the snow gets out there, I'll stop running then. But as long as there's no ice on the ground, no slip hazards or injury hazards like that, I'm going to be outside running after camp. And what's crazy about it is every day someone new joins me now too. It's like, I see you running after camp. Hey, mm-hmm. can I come with you? How quick is your pace? X, Y, Z. Just today, I had two friends who've never ran with me out there before come out to run with me as well, too.
You're setting the tone. Yeah. That's amazing.
And you'll find that at Burn Bootcamp. Burn Bootcamp is amazing. Like one of the happiest places ever. Just being on that floor, being around people who are going to hold you accountable and not laugh at you, not give up on you. They're right there with you as well, too.
So. For sure. And one more thing about him, I have to. This man, two things, actually. One, I ran with him after camp one time. This is someone that can talk while running. Like for me, I was like, wait a minute. We're having a full conversation. Yeah. Okay, let me catch my breath. Like, okay. So that's one thing. Then the other thing is you're really setting the tone because I needed that reminder when I worked out with you that day. I think it was a Saturday. You had done like 5 things before then and you had 5 more to do all before like 8 a.m. on a Saturday. Usually that's before 7 a.m. on the weekdays for you. Like the mindset being around people like that are going to get up and maximize their 24. We all get the same 24 hours. So
exactly.
You really like set the pace for me for that following week. And so I appreciate you. So thanks.
I'm just glad that I'm in a position that God helped me get to the position to be able to motivate people and provide them with that energy that they want to have as well. And just bring the best out of them and taking it right back to Burn. You're going to find so many accountability partners in Burn that are going to help you get there and make sure you stay there. It's nothing short of a miracle, seriously.
Agreed.
Seriously.
Agreed.
But back to you and that day, when we were doing those Green Bay burpees, I literally was like peeking at you out of the corner of my eye. I was like, I can't let her see me give up. Like I wanted to give up, but I was like, I can't let her see me give up. I got to set the tone and set the pace.
Yeah.
Did you just hit us with the lyric as well too? Oh my. Matter of fact, since you're hitting us with lyrics, can you tell us a little bit about how the singing came into play for you as well too in your life?
Oh my goodness. I've just been a choir girl. I'm not going to lie. So I went to private school growing up. I went to All Saints Catholic School. And then my parents split and we had like money troubles. and I shifted to KUSD school, so Bullen Bradford, which I know you're familiar with.
Shout out Bullen Bobcats. Bullen Bobcats, yeah. Bradford Red Devils all the way.
Represent. But yeah, so I just did choir that whole time. Did some acapella choir my senior year of high school, and I've always just loved singing for fun. My brother is a way better singer than me. He never did anything with it, but we sing all the time, all day long. It doesn't matter what song. We love R&B, but like now Christmas music, it's just something I love to do, so... Yeah.
Of course. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going through your mind and your tummy when you're getting ready to go out on the floor and sing the national anthem? Because one of the first games I went to Marquette this year, you were out there on the floor singing as well. Can you just tell us a bit about what that's like for you?
I've done it so many times, and I don't even know if I can swear, but I'm totally shitting my pants every time.
No way, really?
Yeah, no, like I might not show it. I try to like keep a good poker face maybe, but it's like, okay, I say a little prayer. Of course, I'm like, please just let me have the courage to keep going if I mess this up. But it's a deep breath, you know, maybe some yoga tactics come in, like in through the nose, out through the mouth. And then I'm like, all right, we're going to do it. Because it's only a minute 30 mm-hmm. for the anthem. And it's not even that I'm worried about the singing. It's more so like, okay, if there's 17, 18,000 people there, they're all going to hear if mm-hmm. I mess this up. So it's kind of more just like trying to represent well for Marquette, who let me have the opportunity, and for myself, who's doing it. So, and for whoever else is listening. So yeah, it's just some pressure, but you know, we get through it.
Yes, ma'am. Of course. Now, you being the woman that you are, being on the level that you are, working with the Bucks, working with Marquette, going to Eagles as well. Have you ever experienced people throw hate your way?
I definitely have. But I've had more positive reinforcement. So I think that's such a big thing to focus on. Like, it's all about perspective and who you're giving your energy to. Mm-hmm. And yes, everybody receives hate. I'm sure you've received hate. Like, anybody trying to do something great is going to receive some hate. But it's all about, like, if I think about how many likes I got versus the one mean comment, or how many people support me versus the one person who maybe isn't that day, mm-hmm. it's like, come on, man, why would I even focus on whatever? That is fuel to the fire for sure. Like, let me show you, like, mm-hmm. let me have my game, do the talk. And then if you want to try to tear me down, but if I focus on how much love I'm getting, it outweighs the negative so much. So
of course, can you throw some advice to a guy like me who deals with hate? And sometimes it gets to us. I won't lie. It gets to us. Like, you'll see a comment and you'll be like, oh dang, is that really how they feel? You know, or are they just doing that just because it's me, whatever the case may be? How is it that you deal with that? And how is it that you curve even looking at it or paying attention to it?
I think sports helped me with this. So if you're an athlete, maybe you can relate. But even if you're not, like, a lot of it's just noise, and there's confidence breeded in my preparation. So if I know I spent X amount of hours in the dark doing stuff like this, talking to people like you, surrounding myself with good company, putting those reps in, getting the practice done, staying on my P's and Q's with my work for each job individually, that's just going to breed a confidence for me that you can't touch. Like, even if you say something, I know I did all these things to try to set myself up for success. So you're just noise at that point. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it makes it hard then when someone does give you love to be like, all right, I'm going to receive that and like give myself that. But it's a balance, and I'm a work in progress. So mm-hmm. You're doing a great job. So I don't know why you asked for advice, but hopefully someone benefits from it.
Yeah. But that's the thing though. It's like, part of me kind of knew that going into this, Well, I wouldn't say that, because I really started off with just my love for comic books and just talking about comic books as well too. And then that's when I branched out and really actually started interviewing people. Mm-hmm. But part of me knew going into this, you have a platform that's open to the public, you know? So it's like, everyone's not going to like everything that you do, and they may not agree with everything you say, whatever the guests you have or anything like that. But part of me understands that, okay, it's okay. You have that product that's out there for the world to criticize and critique as well too. And for me, my biggest thing is just learning how to be thick skin and really see it for what it is and just continue to grow, knowing that I put myself out there as well too, for people to see. So that's why there's a comment section. That's why there's a like and dislike section as well too, for the world to be able to critique and respond to that. And as a creator, sometimes that's the hardest part too, of really not trying to be a people pleaser, because at the end of the day, I do this for me. I work really hard at my craft. I've came from just a cell phone and no equipment, no anything. So it's like, I don't do this for me. Like, when I'm having those lows or those highs, those people who are talking negative, they're not there for me. They're mm-hmm. not providing me with the three F's of life, which is feeding me, financing me, or I don't want to cuss on the podcast or me. So it's like, at the end of the day.
Wait a minute, hold on. I got to write this down. The three F's of life.
The three F's of life. Like, if they're not doing that, if they're not doing that, why should their opinion matter? Why should I lose sleep or stagger because of what naysayers may say about me, you know?
I 1,000% agree. The three F's of life.
She's really writing it down, guys.
I'm texting it to myself.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm glad that you kind of gave your perspective, because then I didn't have to ask you about it, which I would have. But I got stuck on something along the way. Comics. Mm-hmm. Who are we looking at? The Flash? Like what?
Come look at my arm. What is my arm?
Marvel comics
tough. All the way. Like I'm a diehard Marvel fan. My dog's name is Marvel. Like,
wow.
All comic books are just like my everything. I never grew out of that phase of my life. Like as a kid, I would have like all the action figures, all the comic books, watch all the cartoons and everything like that.
Yeah.
Now, whenever people have questions about comic books or Marvel, like I'm their encyclopedia. They come to me, hey, you like comic books? You know comic books? You know this, that? Like, so yeah, that's always been my thing. It's hard. I have a top five.
Let's
hear
it.
Hard to just have one favorite character. So definitely got to put Spider-Man in there. Oh. Spider-Man's the OG. Captain America, one of my first leg tattoos. I started a leg sleeve of characters.
Tough.
Black Panther.
Oof, Wakanda Forever.
Exactly. And then this where it gets tricky, because then there's Thor, yes. And then there's Wolverine, obviously. But then it's like, oh, when I say them, it's like I'm missing out on so many other people, like Captain Marvel, Hulk. Like, they're just so – it's hard to really have a favorite, and I feel like it's disrespectful at times to even have, like, a top five. I like them all.
I mean, it's subjective. Same thing with, like, basketball. You could have a top five, starting five, whatever. But that's a good lineup. I love that. Which Spider-Man is your Spider-Man?
Oh, Tobey Maguire, definitely. Okay. I'm definitely OG with it, Tobey Maguire. And I don't have any hate towards Andrew Garfield or Tom Holland, but just same. Tobey Maguire, he's kick-started the franchise, and that's who we'll forever remember as Spider-Man.
Love it.
And when they had the new Spider-Man come out and he came back for an appearance, like, I literally dropped my popcorn because I was, like, so excited in there.
Oh, I love that. There's kind of some parallels with that too, I guess, because you got your popcorn the same way you would for like watching a good basketball game. Like, mm-hmm. You're around some good content.
Oh my gosh. I'm glad you just said that. So give us the top five players that you've seen like up close. Top five players that you had the chance to just watch, whether you knew them, whether you worked with them, or you were just at the game, you got to watch them.
Okay, so
non-NBA level, because we know you work for the Bucks. We know you're big time.
It can't be NBA level.
Yeah, we know you see Giannis every day. You see Damian Lillard. We're so jealous of you for that too.
Oh my gosh! they don't even know who I am. Okay, wait. So college, you're saying?
Yeah, or college, high school, whatever. Just people that you had the pleasure to actually be close enough to watch.
Okay, so the first thing that came to my mind was in the hallway. I know I'm not supposed to say this, but I met Ray Allen. He's in the NBA. We won't put that. But like from a person-to-person level, he gave me time of day, talked to me like a real human.
Jesus Shuttlesworth?
Yes.
What?
Like the man himself, which is, I mean, just the mindset he has was like invaluable to meet someone like that. So he's in a different category. Let's talk about who else we got. So top five, I would say. I mean, I could literally pick five on Marquette's team because those are the people that I know the most and lucky to be around. But I don't know. High school as well. I'm going to start with Nevaeh. I think her last name's Thomas. I forget her last name. But she played at Bradford, right?
Yep.
She's playing at a small D1 somewhere. Shout out to her. Dirty B. Love it. 262. She played Midwest Elite. My stepdad coached her. So got a shout out. And she's a girl. So respect. I would put... Who else? Wow, this is so hard. Do you have a five? Can you?
Oh my god, you put me on spot. That's the thing. It's like so. It's almost disrespectful for me to like even have like a top five, just because people are like, oh well, you're at Marquette this week. You're at Wisconsin this week. You're in Iowa this week. So it's like, who is it that you follow? It's like I work media, you know. So my credentials are through the NCAA, as opposed to just strictly the school, which is. Phenomenal that
I
was even lucky enough to get them in year one of really doing this. But my top five, the first one obviously is going to be a little bit biased because I have a working relationship. But yeah, I know. But it's like, hey, someone that we've seen, you know, I've seen him in high school drop 32 points on really good competition down there in Indiana. So obviously he has to be the GOAT at top one, at number one. Number two, Amari Allen. He plays for IMG Prep Academy. I think it's in Florida now. But yeah, I got to meet him through Evolution Basketball and their tournaments as well, too. And this kid was literally just jumping out the gym. And just the aura that he had to himself, you could tell that he's that guy and he's going to be that guy no matter where he goes, you know?
Love.
Yeah, so that's number two. Number three definitely has to go to Elijah Griffin, point guard out of Westosha Central. Like, when I say there's not too many people that I had the chance to just see them put in that effort and the effort and – the results from that effort just continue to get better and better and better even though that they're already top tier, just like the work that that kid's put in and like the things that he was doing at a freshman, sophomore level on varsity, someone needs to arrest him for that because this kid is just built different, you know?
Love it, yeah.
Yeah, but him, number three, and obviously three, four, and this is people that I've seen and that I was close enough to watch, Caitlin Clark, being able to see her in person and walk up to her.
Unreal.
Just be able to walk up to her and be right across from her on the court at the end of the game with my photographer and everything like that. It was just short. Like, just her skill set is different, you know? It's different. Seriously, I've never seen a woman play ball like that up close. You know, obviously, I've seen WNBA games and everything like that, but just to be face-to-face with you, see you like that, she definitely has that four spot, seriously. And then five... I'm going to have to give that to Duty out of Racine. Duty Hamilton, Lamont Hamilton. That kid's a baller. Jumping out of the gym. I've met him when he was going into his freshman year at St. Catharines down there. I met him through Evolution Basketball as well, too. And just the things that he was doing at his height. Like, he's not the tallest player in the world as well, too. But just how he jumps out the gym, how he handles the ball, and how he commands the court. That kid's going places as well, too.
That's a tough five.
Yeah. Honorable mention. You got to give it to that boy. You got to give it to my guy Travis Martin. Okay. He's only in eighth grade right now, and he's worldwide with his talents as well too. This kid's going places. He's actually Bullen.
Never.
Exactly, Bullen. And so like he's actually like on a world tour right now, figuring out which school he's going to go to play for his freshman year as well too.
Okay, that's a tough lineup. While you were giving yours, I had some time to think.
Yeah,
I would like to go back to it. So
let's go.
I put Nevaeh there, so I'm gonna keep her there. I'm going to say from when I was in high school, Tyrese Hunter was at St. Cat's and now he's at Texas. In high school, watching him play up close, it was a different type of energy. Obviously, like my honorable mention with that would be Kamari. They're kind of like a two-headed monster in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Gabby Ortiz, who's my stepsister. She played on the USA 3-on-3 team. She played at Oklahoma University.
Nice.
She was Miss Basketball in 2015, so she's older, but she's tough. I would say... my brother, I'm going to put him in there. He played at Bradford. He is like the ultimate teammate. Like we talked about leading from the bench or doing whatever. He's always good for positivity, a good joke. So I got to shout him out. And then I think my last is a toss up between any of the Marquette guys, because like knowing them, I know that their character as well as their game is tough.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jaden Zachary, who went to Central, who's playing at Boston College. Just a good human and a good hooper. So that's my five with a couple in there.
That's actually a pretty good five. And I want to first and foremost shout out to everyone from the Wisconsin area, the Kenosha area, wherever that have been doing their thing. And that's what I said. I didn't mean any disrespect when I said
top five.
Exactly. Because this is just like when people say you're a top five, it's like, well, how technical are you going to get? Are you going to speak analytics? Are you just going to say, oh, because he's my friend or anything like that? And when I say them, I'm speaking from an analytics side and from what I've seen. Because obviously, if I have film on film of these guys balling, because there's so many people that should be in there that I've missed, like Sydney Cooks, who took her talents overseas.
She took her
talents overseas, and she's doing her darn thing as well, too. It's just, I've actually never really seen her play, actually. That's crazy.
Wow.
I've never seen her play. Exactly.
I know.
So, but it's like there's just so much talent out there that you can't forget.
And I was biased. So.
Yeah, exactly.
It is what it is.
But back to the media thing, can you just share with the people what your end goal is when it comes to being media?
Guys, I graduate in May, and so this is changing every day because, I mean, I have an ultimate goal right now, but it changes because I want to be employed. I want to like have fruits of my labor. I want to make some money. I want to see a check be deposited, you know, just basic human needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the ultimate goal right now is to sideline report for an NBA team. I got the pleasure of shadowing Zora Stevenson, who's now with NBC, but she was the sideline reporter last year. I know Melanie Ricks, who's the sideline reporter right now. So talking with them, hearing their lifestyle, it's something that I'm interested in and want to do. Plus, we get to talk basketball. Like, we just did. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's the goal, is just keep it in the family. Talk about everybody that we love and respect and have their game shine through us.
Now, how crazy would you say it is, like, when you're out there and people just know who you are? Because I'm not trying to make this about me or anything like that. But it's like when I'm there and people are screaming my name and, like, you'll run into the players and everything like that, they know who you are. Me and him were walking backstage for the women's Badgers game.
Yeah.
And the men's team were walking through. And we ran into AJ Store, got a picture with him and everything like that. He knows line for line. And how are these people knowing who I am? But they say the work speaks for itself. The level of professionalism speaks for itself. And that's what I pride myself on. And just making everyone feel welcome and give everyone their flowers, you know?
Yes.
And I tell Connor this all the time too, like, you're going to have people like that who are around you when you're up.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you have those lows and you're not playing well or anything like that, are those same people still there?
Now, as we get ready to close out this phenomenal episode, can you just give those people at home just that little piece of advice on how to continue with the hard work? Never give up. Keep chasing your dreams. Keep chasing your goals.
Oof. I would say I'm making it overcomplicated. It's really just like, you know, if you're religious, maybe say your prayers. Keep good company. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Ask for what you want, but also be thankful for what you already have. And talk to Deb. Deb knows what's up. Gosh. That's my advice.
Oh my God. Ladies and gentlemen, that has been Grace Scalzo. I'm your host with the most, Yvonne Booker. Any shout-outs that you like to give to anyone or anything like that?
My whole family. My mom and my brother specifically. My mom raised me by herself. She's a goat. And my stepdad's cool, too. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's been another episode of My Flying Podcast.
Calling, are you listening? Tune in every week. Laugh line. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna laugh line.